the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science.
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 126 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. I'm your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you for the last time from base camp in Turner, Oregon. That's right, I'll be moving the home base. I'll fill you in on further details in the future. But tonight's episode isn't about me. It's about an author that inspired millions. It's about an author that created several genres of fiction writing. And actually, tonight, it's about a poet. And tonight, we're featuring one of his most famous poems, The Raven. Of course, we're talking about Edgar Allan Poe. This is the kickoff for the Edgar Allan Poe month of 2015. It will probably extend past a month, but we're just going to call it that anyway. I don't know if you picked up on it the last few years when I've been doing this Edgar Allan Poe month, but I've been hesitant to feature his most famous works, like The Raven. I've been trying to feature things that you may not have heard or may not have realized were from Edgar Allan Poe. Everybody knows The Raven. Everybody knows Telltale Heart. Everybody knows The Fall of the House of Usher. At least they've heard of those things and they know a little bit about what those are about. But I'd say those are the three most famous known works of Edgar Allan Poe. You can throw in other things like The Cask of Amontillado. You can throw in The Black Cat and things like that. But definitely, when somebody says Edgar Allan Poe, the first thing that comes to people's mind is probably The Raven. And I don't know why I've been so hesitant. I guess it's just everybody does The Raven. It's so well known that I didn't feel like I felt like I wanted to introduce you to other things. But after doing this for several years, this year I'm ready. And really, I guess at this point in the podcast, it really is almost an oversight not to feature Poe's most famous poem here on the show. And so that's what we're here to do. But I didn't want to just feature the poem. I wanted to present it to you in style. And so I invited Dave Robison, narrator extraordinaire, to narrate this classic poem for us today. And he did an outstanding job. I think you'll really enjoy his reading of it. And so let's get to it. Come with me. And let's journey into the night's Plutonian shore.
The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, "tapping at my chamber door, only this and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow. Vainly I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow. Sorrow for the lost Lenore. For the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more." Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more." Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore?" This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore." Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping somewhat louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then where thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more." Open here I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door. Perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. Perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird, beguiling my sad fancy into smiling by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. "Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou," I said, "art sure no craven. Ghastly, grim, and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore, tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." Much I marveled, this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculpted bust above his chamber door, with such name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing farther then he uttered, not a feather then he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, "Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said I, "what it utters is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master, whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore of never, nevermore. But the raven, still beguiling all my fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then, upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking that this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking nevermore. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press. Ah, nevermore. Then, methought the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer swung by seraphim, whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch, I cried, thy God hath lent thee, by these angels he hath sent thee, respite, respite and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still if bird or devil, whether tempter sent or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home of horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul, with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden, whom the angels name Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels name Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that word our sign in parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked, upstarting. Get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul hath spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming. And the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
Nevermore. I like how that repeated word can have so many different interpretations, as if different questions are posed and in different contexts as it's used here throughout the poem. And I think that that's why this is such a popular poem, because it builds upon itself, and you know, the rhythm and the cadence, you know, pulls you along And he makes good use of rhyme. You know, of course, I've learned that not all poems need to rhyme, but I think it lends itself well to this poem and is one of the reasons it's so famous. And if you're around for the impromptu poetry reading that I had on the Strewn Along the Path podcast last year, where Dave Thompson read The Sleeper, that was actually Poe's personal favorite poem. He liked that one better than The Raven. It probably meant more to him personally, or he felt better about the challenge it was to write that one, or whatever. But as far as the populist view of this of the poem, you know, The Raven was it. It's what made Poe known throughout the world. You know, many of his works weren't well known, or if they were known, you know, it wasn't famous or whatever. But The Raven, you know, put him on the charts, so to speak. One of the other phrases I like in there is the night's Plutonian shore. And if you think about that term, you know, the shore, that would be like the ocean. So it's a really good use of metaphor, comparing the night to the ocean. And the Plutonian, I guess, refers to, you know, Pluto, who is the god of the underworld. And so there's kind of a nefarious, or, you know, underscore of doom within calling it a Plutonian shore. I don't know, I just like that metaphor or whatever. I like that phrase. And, you know, a lot of this, if it wasn't such a famous poem, if I haven't heard it so many times, you know, I wouldn't pick up on these phrases and whatever. But since I've listened to this many times, and can I just, you know, say what a fantastic job Dave Robison did with this reading. I was extremely pleased. I knew he would read it well, as he's done in the past here on the podcast when he's read other Poe works and been involved in other things. But I think he really outdid himself on this poem. And I really am glad that he was willing to do it. And I'm glad that it worked out so well. So great job, Dave. I appreciate it. The other credit that I need to give is to the music that's behind it. I was actually able to find a music group that had a couple albums that were dedicated to Edgar Allan Poe, and they named the pieces of music for the different stories that Poe has written. They have some Lovecraft stuff as well. They have many albums on Jamendo. I think they're also on Podsafe Music and probably other places like SoundCloud. I'm not sure. And so hats off to Out of Orion. And, you know, you never know. They might pop up as we continue on with this Edgar Allan Poe month. One of the things that I learned that I didn't know before regarding this poem is that Poe was inspired to write this poem because of a novel that was written by Charles Dickens, which I haven't been aware of until now. But it's one of Dickens's first novels, called Barnaby Rudge, A Tale of the Riots of 80. And it's kind of a historical novel, I guess, due to the fact that its setting is around the Gordon Riots of 1780. And again, you know, this is just stuff that I've learned. It's not something I've known for a long time. But within the story, there's this character called Barnaby Rudge, and he has a pet raven throughout the story named Grip. But anyway, Grip, the raven, is what inspired Edgar Allan Poe to write this poem. Not only was Poe a writer and a poet, but he was also a critic, and he reviewed novels and such in his different newspapers. But anyway, when he wrote his review of Barnaby Rudge by Charles Dickens, he said that the raven, Grip, should have served as a more symbolic, prophetic source, I guess. At the end of the fifth chapter of the book, Grip, the raven, makes a noise, and somebody says, What was that? Him tapping at the door? And the response is, 'tis someone knocking softly at the shutter. And so, I guess as Poe was reading this novel, that triggered something in his mind that he remembered later on when he was writing this poem. And so it's always interesting to me to learn of the influences of you know, these masters of fiction. You know, we look to Poe for inspiration, and you know, we base our things off of what we've heard from Poe. But who did Poe get his inspiration from? And that's always interesting to learn. And it was contemporary authors. You know, it was Charles Dickens. It was, you know, it was the Iliad. It was, you know, a lot of the things that he had read. And that, you know, that just is fascinates me. Where, you know, where does everybody get their inspiration in their craft of writing? So I think that's a really good kickoff to the Edgar Allan Poe month. And we'll be back next week, I hope, with our featured story by Ken Scholes, which is, interestingly enough, titled Evermore, I Told the Raven. And I think you're going to like it. It's a really good story. So I look forward to that. If you'd like to comment on this poem, or if you'd like to talk about Edgar Allan Poe, or you'd like to talk about anything that we've talked about here on this podcast, you can always get a hold of us on the forums, which is at journeyinto.freeforums.org. You can make comments on the Facebook page, on this post or any post, or on the page itself. You can go to Twitter and comment at journeyinto on Twitter. There's a multiplicity of ways that you can interact with the show. And so I encourage you to do that. But I'll bid you adieu for a time. And until then, stay safe out there and journey on.
Hello, literary alchemists. I'm Dave Robison.
And I'm Brian Humphrey of the Roundtable Podcast.
And we wanted to let you know that this episode of the Journey Into Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 license.
Yes, that's right. So it's like everybody gathering together and sharing their stuff with each other. Although, you have to say where you got it from.
Right. Yeah, because, well, and you can't sell it for money, right?
Right, and you can't chop it up and change it and make it all kinds of differentness.
But you can share it, because yes. that's what the whole Creative Commons thing is about.
And it just makes me feel all warm and gooey inside.
Me too, me too. I just, yes. You know, group hug, man, right now, you and
that's
me.
That's right.